Hey, welcome to the Pachanga and Possibility Podcast, the podcast where we celebrate the power of healing and transformation. I am your host, Natalie Calzadilla. Each week, I'll be interviewing experts that will inspire you to discover your soul's purpose and create a fulfilling life. I'll also be sharing some spiritual coaching along the way and personal adventures as I enter this new phase in my life as a mother and entrepreneur. All right, mi gente, grab your cafecito and a notebook. Let's get started. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Pachanga and Possibility. Today, we have on the show Julie Ryan, who is a psychic and medical intuitive. Julie became a really special person to me overnight, practically, because she popped into my life in December when my dad was in the process of transitioning. So one of Julie's specialties is being able to communicate with people who are on their deathbeds, who are nonverbal, and they are transitioning, and families need to know what that person needs, if there's anything that's keeping them from passing away, that they're holding on to, are they in pain, any sort of information she can psychically communicate with them. And then she shares what she calls the 12 phases of transition and clearly delineates in her book what it looks like at each phase, complete with diagrams and everything. So anyone can do this and look at these diagrams and figure out for themselves where their loved one is in the transition process. Yeah, it is very cool. And this was really special to me because I inhaled this book before my dad passed away in 2 days. It's called Angelic Attendance, What Really Happens As We Transition From This Life Into the Next. She is an author of 3 books. It's this book and 2 children's books. But when I saw that this was one of her specialties, I said, this is what we're going to talk about, because Julie is what she calls herself, a psychic buffet. So not only does she do this part of healing when it comes to helping those transition, but she also does the medical scanning, PET scanning, talking to deceased, paranormal stuff, and past lives. So there's just everything under the sun that involves psychic ability she does. But when it came to picking the topic for the show today, I chose this because of what I was personally going through, because I wanted to have more information about this process that could help support myself and my dad. And boy, did I get that, because what I learned in that book gave me the confidence that I needed to communicate with my father as he was transitioning to another degree. I was already communicating with his soul and helping him prepare to transition, but what I didn't have in my toolbox was knowing how close a person is to dying, because some intuitives believe, and they've even said it on other episodes, that you will never know when a person is going to die. You can't know the exact time. And that was not the case with my dad. I'm going to share that whole entire story with Julie shortly. Being able to tune in and see where he was in his process and having that confidence of all of the stories in Julie's book was really helpful to me. So I'm going to tell that story about Julie and my dad and how it all came together and the support that this gave me. And I hope that this episode is also helpful to anyone who has a person who's in hospice, who needs care. You just need to know, maybe they're in the hospital with COVID and you don't know how long they have. You can reach out to Julie to get more information, or you can buy her book and do it yourself. So about Julie. So Julie Ryan is an inventor, entrepreneur, medical intuitive, and psychic whose learned skills have helped many families understand the glorious side of the dying process. This process involves angels, multitude of deceased family and friends, the spirits of deceased pets, and countless serendipitous and miraculous moments that are all part of a prescribed series of events that she calls the 12 phases of transition. During what is normally an incredibly heart-wrenching time, families almost always experience profound comfort once Julie describes what's happening from the perspective of the spirit world, including which spirits and deceased pets from the other side have come to assist the dying person, what the person needs and whether they are in pain, especially if they can't talk for themselves, and how close they are to actually passing. The information Julie conveys brings peace at a time that seems filled with anything but peace, and a new way for those left behind to embrace life through what they learn about the experience of death. Without any further ado, here is Julie. Hey, Julie, welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you here. I have been looking forward to this episode for a while now, and everyone will soon hear why. But thank you so much for being here. And if you can tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me. Happy New Year, first of all.
And yes, Happy
I'm
New Year.
I'm delighted that I was invited. Thanks so much for asking me to be on. It's you. You have become very special to me. There's a special place in my heart for you after what we've been through. And it sounds like you're going to tell everybody this story. So we'll go leave it to there. I am an inventor of surgical devices sold throughout the world, and I'm a medical intuitive, and I'm a psychic, and I'm a businesswoman because I have founded 9 companies in 5 industries in the past 30 plus years. So I'm a serial entrepreneur. So basically, Natalie, I tell everybody I'm a businesswoman who learned how to do woo-woo, and I'm a buffet of psychicness.
I love that. That is a huge inspiration because I love the fact that you have all of the left brain and all of the right brain and all of the woo-woo blending it all together. When I read that in your book, I was like, yes, like this can work. This happens and you can be credible and still be super respected in industries and still be very talented and psychic. And that was just, I love that. It's really inspiring.
Well, that's the thing is I laugh. I tell people I'm not one of those psychics who's had dead people chasing her since childhood. Or if I did, I didn't know it, let alone what I would have done with that information. But rather, I learned how to do this. And now I teach people all over the world how to do what I do. The only prerequisite to take my class, Natalie, is you got to speak English. Because that's the only language I speak. Oui, oui, CC. That's about it.
Oui, oui, CC. Yeah, that's, I love the fact also that you said that you weren't chased by ghosts growing up. Neither was I, pretty much. And so the fact that you've made it to where you are in your psychic buffetness without being one of these that's been seeing dead people since she was little is proof that this can be possible for everyone.
Right. Right. And everybody that's graduated from my class is proof too. And they come in and they think, oh, I don't know if I could do it. And the first week out of the gate, the way that I have it structured is it's 4 weeks of on Saturday for 2 hours. So the first hour, Natalie, is discussion and lecture. And the second hour is practicum. So we actually do it. And right out of the chute, people are doing this and they're saying, oh my goodness, I had no idea I would be able to do this so fast. It's very, very simple. It's just, I think we've just complicated it over the years and it doesn't need to be complicated. We all come in with the ability. It's just learning to develop and enhance it.
Everybody can do this and they have the ability. It's just a matter of choosing to turn it on and then practicing. So that's, and you have a 4-week program and you have one coming up, correct?
I do. The next one starts in January, the next week in January, next Saturday. So it'll go 4 Saturdays for 2 hours, each of those Saturdays on Zoom. And then the following one will be in April. And I've got a couple of spots left for April. I limit it to 12 people. So it's really individualized. And the thing that's a byproduct about it, Natalie, too, about my class is people are amazed at how much fun it is. And I tell them, I say, you're going to have a blast doing this. And they go, yeah, whatever. I'm just worried about being able to do it. But it's amazing how fast they bond. And then once they graduate, then they're in a group with all the graduates. And people have befriended other people from around the world. And it's all this group, this tribe, if you will, of people who all are developing their skills and doing all this work and having fun doing it. And it's really been remarkable to watch it unfold. And as I mentioned, everybody comes in with the ability, we've all had situations where we think of somebody and then within a couple of days or even less, we'll hear from them. They'll text us or they'll call us or they'll send us an email. And we said, oh, I was just before COVID, we would run into them maybe. And we say, oh gosh, I was just thinking of you. How what a coincidence. Well, no coincidences in life. It's all, that's your telepathic ability at work, your psychicness.
And at the end of the 4 weeks, what type of psychic abilities does it focus on? Is it mediumship or is it giving readings? Is it everything?
It's everything. That's what comes with the buffet. Once we connect with spirit, then we can take it anywhere you want. You can scan people medically, facilitate energetic healings, scan pets, communicate with pets that are alive, communicate with deceased loved ones, communicate with deceased pets, spirit guides, angels, gosh, you know, anybody that you knew, anybody that you don't know, if you want to talk to Mother Teresa or Aristotle. We just get them on the line. Mm-hmm. We can tell how close to death somebody is. We can do past life stuff. So really in about 8 hours of a class or stretched out over 4 Saturdays, everybody has the ability to do all of those things. And then there's something that happens every day of the week with the graduates that's free that comes with it. So they can practice their skills from there if they're interested in developing them more and being involved with people. And it's amazing the work that they're doing as a group with people who've graduated from my class, the healings and the comfort that they bring when somebody loses a loved one and all of that. It's been really fascinating to watch it unfold. It's gone in directions, frankly, that I never even anticipated. I was just led to do it. And so I did.
I can imagine. And you definitely opened up my eyes to the beauty of helping people cross over and that part of it, which is what we're talking about today. When they graduate, are they ready to take on clients and to start this as a business?
Absolutely.
With only 4 weeks?
Yep.
That's incredible.
Yep.
That's impressive.
Yeah, because once you connect to spirit, and that's what they learn how to do, and be able to validate the information you're getting from spirit, then you're off to the races. And the more you do it, the more easily it comes to you, and the more easily it comes to you, and the more validation you get, the more you trust it. And then it just becomes fun. People have said to me over the years, well, gosh, you're so happy doing this, even if you're talking to somebody about something awful. And I say, well, it's spirit working through me and with me, in conjunction with me, and spirit is pure love. So how could it be anything but joy?
So I want to start by sharing how you played a part in helping me with my dad's passing. All right, y'all. So check this out, because This was amazing. Spirit was definitely played a huge part in this entire process. So I believe that my dad or spirit or both sent you to me, and you specifically, I feel like my dad's soul picked you out because my dad was also an inventor and he has patents and he was a mechanical engineer. And so when I saw your background, I was like, out of all the psychics on the planet, like, this is the one who's like totally also left brain and has patents and is an inventor. I was like, man, I'm like, Dad, are you sending her to me? And I feel like he sent you to me because you can help me with what was going to transpire. So I find out about Julie, I book her on the show, and I immediately buy your book and I listen to the audiobook, and I'm inhaling this audiobook because it's called Angelic Attendance.
Happens as we transition from this life into the next.
Yes, Angelic Attendance, What Really Happens as We Transition from This Life into the Next. So when I saw that, I was like, okay, we need to talk. She, like she says, she's a psychic buffet, and we can probably have at least 12 episodes with all the things you do, right? There could be one on pets, one on kids, one on crossing over, one on medical intuition. Like, I'm sure we can do this till the cows come home with all of your buffetness. But since I was at the time when I was scheduling you, my dad was in home hospice. And I was like, man, I really want to just read this. I am familiar with, from a shamanic perspective, like helping souls prepare for crossing over and communicating with their higher self to see if there's anything going on and being able to have that nonverbal psychic communication. But the piece that I didn't have was being able to tell how close they are to transitioning. And in your book, you talk about the 12 phases of transition. So what it really gave me was, one was the confidence to believe that this is real and that I can do this, and that you had all these wonderful stories in the book and confirmations of things that happened and just amazing stories. You have to read the book. And it just gave me the confidence to know that this is real. I was like, I'm intuitive too. I'm sure I can apply some of this framework and see what happens for me. So I literally finished your audiobook pulling up to the driveway of my dad's house the second to last time before I see him. And immediately I'm all excited. I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk to him psychically. I'm going to see what he needs. I'm going to see what's going on. Because I was doing it intuitively in meditation from my house, but not sitting by his side and trying to, I guess, get more conversation. And I was able to communicate with him and just say, what do you need? And he's like, I'm really wanting to pass by myself. I don't want anybody present. And I'm like, okay. And that's going to be, we didn't know if we would be there or not because me and my sister don't live with him. And I'm like, all right, well, we'll see what happens. And then, you know, he was telling me he was tired and that he was, you know, in some pain, but not a lot. And he was just really, really tired. And when I went home that night, I connected with him and I said, all right, let me see if I can do this. Let me see where he's at. And for me, it showed up like his body looked like if it was a city at night. And you know, when you see the city lights, like lighting up, and depending on how much he was lit up, depend on how much like life was in. Mm-hmm. And the lights were diminishing. And what it felt like, the number I received, it was almost like a battery. It was like, oh, he has 45% of life left. And this was like on Saturday. I said, okay. So fast forward to Thursday. It's the day that we were supposed to record this. That was the other synchronicity that I was like,
right.
Holy cow. It's the day we were supposed to record this. You and I had never spoken before. I email you and I said, hey, my dad is taking a turn for the worse today. I just got the call. I don't want to reschedule yet because I was so excited to do this. I'm like, I don't want to cancel this. And I immediately sit in meditation to talk to my guides to see and check in and how far along he is. So as soon as I sit in meditation, my guides are like, he's going to pass today. You need to go now. And I was shocked because sometimes I have to sit and get in the zone and be able to connect and all of this like dog and pony show to get grounded enough to get a clear connection. And it wasn't like that. As soon as I closed my eyes, my guides were like, go now. This is happening. And he lives an hour away. At the same time, you email me and you say he's in stage 8. And you guys are going to know what that is in a little bit. So he's in stage 8 out of 12 of transitioning. I said, okay. And then I continued talking to his soul. I said, what do you need? And he's like, I'm just really tired. I'm not in pain. I'm like, do you need anything else? And he goes, I need you to let go of me. And I, at that point, I just lost it. And I had thought that I had let go already when I was meeting with him prior to that day of trying to help him prepare and close any loose ends and any apologies and just really trying to prepare him and myself. But I guess there was still a piece of me that hadn't completely let go. When I did that, I said, okay, fine. And I let him go. I did some energy work to make sure that his like energy body was ready to cross over. And then my angel said, you may not get there on time. And I said, okay. So I get in the car and I put on your show to keep me like connected. I think I just wanted the comfort of still being like connected with you. And it was a good distraction because it was an hour long show. And I'm like, all right, he's an hour away. This will keep me entertained. And then I like listening to your show because you have the call-ins, and every time somebody will call in for to get a reading by you, I play along so to see if I can get accurate hits, and I play like the psychic game in my car by myself. So I get to his house and I felt that he was just going so fast. He was nonverbal. He was already unconscious. And he looked bad. I mean, I was shocked from what I saw Saturday to from between Saturday and Thursday was night and day. And he looked like a cadaver practically already. He was all sucked in. The cancer had consumed him. I felt strong and confident in the sense that I didn't have any remorse or anything left unsaid because I had already been communicating. I had to have an important conversation with his wife and his wife's daughter. And I told my sister, I think when we sit down to have this conversation, my dad's going to pass. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. We sat and had the conversation and the hospice nurses are like, told us what was happening. By the time I ran from the dining table to the bedroom, he was gone. And I knew he didn't want us to be physically there. And I guess that was the best he could do was we're like, okay, at least they're in the kitchen and not in the room. And that was it. Had I not had like the confidence because of your book to believe what I was experiencing and to be able to check in and see where he was in his dying stages. And then the next few days we spoke again and you were able to connect with his soul and to confirm that he had transitioned. And my dad was a comedian and he had the biggest sense of humor. And I asked Julie to ask him, how was it? How did the transition go? And his answer was as smooth as a baby's ass. And that is so my dad. And that was the confirmation. And when I told my sister, she was crying and she lost it laughing. And she was like, wow, that is him completely. And I hadn't made the effort to connect with him because I was under the impression that souls need time to, I guess, like go through orientation over there.
Nah, you can connect with them at any moment.
Right away. Yeah, I thought that there was some grace period of where they're like, let them do their thing. They're kind of getting, acclimated.
I think there are some cultures that believe that actually, and that have been taught that. And that's not been my experience, Natalie. It's we can communicate with any spirit at any time, whether it's attached to a body or not, or whether it's attached to an animal or not, because all animals have spirits as well. And what an honor and a privilege for me to have one little teeny peek and place in your life at such an emotional, heart-wrenching, intimate time, really. And this work that I do with families who have a loved one who's dying, it is just so humbling for me that they give me the opportunity and give my students too, my graduates, the opportunity and others that learn this work to help them and be a part of it. Because that's kind of the last thing that you think is I'm going to let a stranger in when we're going through all this really tough time. But when I was thinking about writing my book, may I tell you a quick story about Pope Clement?
Yes, of course.
He showed up one day. I was with my mentor and teacher, and I zap on people all over the world and do healing. She was the only one that zaps on me. So I was in her office. This was several years ago. And when she's doing a healing on me, my deceased loved ones are on either side. I'm on a massage table face up. And I'm fully clothed and I usually have a blankie on me and my head's on a pillow. And so my deceased loved ones are on either side of me. And one day this dead Pope spirit showed up at the left corner of the table near my left foot. And I said to him, well, who are you? And he said, I'm Clement. And I said, there was a Pope Clement? No, I went through 12 years of Catholic school, so I never heard of a Pope Clement. And he laughed and he said, yeah, I was number 6. And he had his whole Pope outfit on, the big hat and the vestments and the whole nine yards. And I said, okay, well, may I help you? Kind of like, why are you here? Right. And he said, well, you're supposed to teach the world what happens when somebody dies because it's been so bastardized that people are scared to death And you know what goes on, and you can describe the angels and the deceased loved ones that are around them, and it will bring a lot of peace and a lot of comfort. And you just need to educate the world about that. And I said, I'm not doing that. I'm a businesswoman. People are going to think I'm nuts. And he laughed. He said, yeah, go ahead, you know, but just get on with it. I get in the car to go home a little bit later. And just for kicks, I Googled Pope Clement VI, Natalie. He was in office during the Black Plague when 2/3 of Europe died. And he's best known for his prayers for the dying and his prayers for the dead. And I thought, oh, for God's sakes, Ryan, you can't make that up.
Right.
Yeah. And so that's how that all started. And since then, he's my main spirit guide. And he treats me like a Nike ad. He says to me, just do it. You know what I'm saying? I can't do that. I don't have enough time, or I don't know how to do that, or whatever. He's like, just do it. And I do. I follow what he suggests. I ask for his opinion. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't come in and say, hey, you need to go do this. But I'll ask for his opinion, and then he'll say, yeah, do it. And then I'll say, yeah, I don't know. And he just rides my rear end and says, yeah, just get on with it. So it's really been interesting. The interesting thing about all of this as well is I didn't see this going in the direction where it has led already since I released Angelic Attendance. My church, my parish, my Catholic parish gives my book to every family who comes in to plan a funeral. It's used in Sunday school classes around the country by churches of all denominations and synagogues. It's frequent that I'll get an email from a church person and they'll say, can I order the book in bulk? And we'll work something out. And it's given as a gift to a lot of families when they have a loved one who's dying or they've just lost a loved one. And as you know, it's short.
Yeah,
and that was on purpose because I didn't want it to be some 800-page novel that people don't right. have time to read, and it's in audiobook form.
It was perfect. I was so happy to find that there was an audio because with a baby, I don't have time to sit and read a book, but I inhale audiobooks with a baby though because what am I? She can't talk to me, so I'm just listening to audiobooks all day. And it
She's
was like
learning too along with you.
Exactly. I'm actually reading her You Are Psychic, the book. So that's her first book.
Perfect. My children's books will be perfect for her.
Yes. You know, I want to get those.
My children's books are darling and little people love them. But yeah, it's been really interesting to see how that has spawned. And then I thought, how am I going to teach the world about this? Because it's not really dinner conversation when you're out to dinner with somebody. Hey, you want to know what happens when somebody dies?
Right.
So I thought, well, on this buffet of psychicness, so we could do the medical stuff and we can talk about love life and spirit guides and past lives and stuff like that, stuff that's a little more palatable to most people. And oh, by the way, then there is this, what happens when somebody dies? So that's how it's all evolved.
And these churches didn't have an issue with the psychic part. You know how normally that's taboo in the Bible and divination and all that stuff.
It's not, though. That's the thing. That's all a misnomer. That is not true. The Bible is full of spirits communicating. The angel appeared to Joseph and told him to go back a different way after Jesus was born. The angel appeared to Mary and said, you're going to have a child and call him Jesus. And I mean, on and on and on. Saul was talked to in the Bible. You know, God talked to Saul. Moses talked to a burning bush. If you look at it, the references to angels communicating, I think I read someplace, it's like 238 references in the Bible. That's number one. And number two, another interesting thing is I'm a cafeteria Catholic, so I take what makes sense to me and I leave the stuff that doesn't.
That's what we say. I belong to a universalist church and we say take the best and leave the rest from exactly. everything.
Exactly. But the Vatican actually, I believe in 2016, came out with an encyclical, which is like a newsletter kind of from the Pope, who said to all of his priests around the world to embrace psychics and energy healers because they were doing the work of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Wow. And that's coming from the Vatican, for heaven's sakes, right from the Pope. So my parish, my pastor, who's a 75-year-old Irish priest, if he's got something going on medically, he's texting me going, hey, can you fix this?
I love it.
And my son went to a Catholic grade school with Dominican nuns that are in the old habits with the rosary beads hanging on the side and all of that. And those sisters will text me if one of them's sick. Hey, can you scan her? Can you help? Oh, yeah. Because I know stuff about them that there's no way I could know when I scan them. So you can choose to believe what's true, or you can choose not to believe what's true. It doesn't make it untrue. It just makes it that you're not believing what's true. So yeah, it's been really interesting to watch it all evolve.
I bet. Because I know I've struggled to come out of the woo-woo closet. And now with this podcast, it's kind of kicked me out into the open. And truth be told, I actually had, even though I was doing this podcast, I was really angry with spirit when I gave birth because I had a really difficult labor. And I got really pissed at all my guides and everything and spirit and everybody. And I put all my tools in a box and I threw it in the garage. And I was like, I need to cut everything out right now. And it wasn't, I just put it away for a while, but I had closed like that intuitive side of me for a few months. And what happened with you and the book and having to go back and connect with spirit, because it was literally the only way that I can communicate with my dad. He was pretty much nonverbal at the end. If he was verbal, he wasn't speaking anything that made sense. And that was the only way that I can communicate and find closure and see where he was at. And then when my angels literally told me today's the day, I'm like, I cannot deny this anymore. Like, I have to just accept that this is real and that this is a part of my life and it's meant to be a part of my life. So yeah, it's just, it put me back into this and I love it. And now I'm happy again because I'm connected with it again. But it was everything that transpired between the book and my dad that really opened me back up to all of this and made me take that box out of the garage. My boyfriend was cracking up. He was like, I knew it was a matter of time before the box would come out. It wasn't going to last.
I have a thought about that. And then there's a story I want to share with you about my coming out of the closet, which is hilarious. As far as the tough labor and you putting it away, I believe that was to prepare you, because you told me your daughter is only 5 months old, right? So it happened not too long ago.
Yeah.
It happened recently. That was to prepare you, to let you know that you could get through pretty much anything. If you can get through a tough labor, it's kind of like
36 hours.
Well, but it's almost as if you're saying to the universe, bring it on. Hey, I survived that.
I did. After I finally was done like boohooing and healing physically and emotionally and getting past navigating the postpartum anxiety and depression, or I still feel now, I'm like, I can take on anything. Like, it was this very like, I am not scared of anything. And also just getting to such a, I don't want to say dark because it wasn't dark space, but it was just really hard and difficult that it cracked me open. And I used to be really scared, not scared. It's the right word is I'm a HSP, a highly sensitive person. So when I hear really difficult stories, I feel it like profoundly. And I would.
You're an empath.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So between the empath and HSP, when I would work on like really deep, dark stuff with people, it would really take a lot out of me. And now I feel like I've been through so much that I'm just like, whatever, I can.
Well, I believe your labor was to prepare you for your dad dying.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
And I believe that what you just said, that I had to rely on my angels and my intuitive abilities in order to help my dad get through all of this and transition. What did you do? You gave love to your dad at the most critical time in his life that you have been around and been able to participate in. But you did it with intuitive gifts that have come in, and it just felt natural and it worked. So that was your validation that this stuff really works. Yeah, so good for you. May I share my coming out of the closet story with
you? Please, yes.
This is so funny. I, like you, was thinking, oh, people are just going to think I'm nuts. And this was before I'd even released the book. And I was getting ready to start a podcast because a big, huge book publisher told me, you need to do a podcast and get that up and running before you release the book. She said, you need to have a platform. I said, what's that mean? She said, well, you need to do a podcast. I said, well, I don't know how to do that. She said, yeah, but you'll figure it out. So my biggest fear was I'm going to put my website up and I'm going to be lecturing for business. I lectured for years at big conferences with 1,000 people at trade shows and national sales meetings and stuff like that on business. And so I'm thinking, I'm going to put my website up and I'm going to be on stage or I'm going to be at one of these conferences and somebody's going to come up and they go, are you this kook that's a psychic here? And that actually happened.
Oh, no.
I was giving a lecture in Austin, Texas to a big room full of CEOs. Now, Austin's the second Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are running big old companies and it's mostly men in the room. And I'm talking about the business stuff. And then after I was done, one of these double jumbotrons on the screen kind of an event kind of thing. So I finish and this guy comes up to me and he's got his, you know, tablet, like his iPad out. He's got the AskJulieRyan.com website up. And he said to me, is this you? I'm thinking, well, duh, it's my picture. Yeah. It's me. And I said, yes, it is. And I'm thinking, oh God, here we go. And he said, I'm really interested in hearing more. Can we sit together at lunch? And I still thought, oh, this guy's just going to give me so much grief. Long story short, we adjourned to a ballroom where they had tables of eight set up for lunch. I sat at a table of eight with 7 CEOs of big, huge companies, and we talked about woo-woo all throughout lunch. There was not one derogatory word. There was not one sarcastic word. These guys were glued. They were so much more glued to this topic than they were what the conference was about that I thought, all right, okay, game on.
Yeah, what more validation do you need to come out of the closet at that point if you can be accepted by all of these bigwig CEOs? How amazing. And then that's it. That took away the woo-woo coming out of the closet.
That was
nervousness.
It. Yeah. Yeah. I was on a show right before Christmas and the host was asking a lot of provocative questions about the devil and demons and stuff like that. And so I was saying, yeah, well, I just don't believe they exist and all that. So one of his callers called in and said, do you ever get angry? Not very often, but it's just the truth. And we know when something feels good, it's the truth. If something feels bad, you're out of alignment with your spirit. It's our internal GPS system. Mm-hmm. And so it was really fun. But yeah, my Austin story is really fun. I have another really fun part of that story. May I share it?
Yes, yes.
I stopped in a Trader Joe's to pick up a snack. And I thought, well, I got a bag of nuts or something. I was trying to get something healthy. And I was in the parking lot and this woman said to me, isn't it a beautiful day? And I said, yeah, I'm visiting. And I had been to a historic hotel called the, oh gosh, it'll come to me in a second. And so I had lunch there the day before and it's apparently haunted. And so I had the concierge get somebody to give me a tour of this home. And so we're going through and I'm picking up, you know, all this stuff that's going on. And I walked in this one, the Driscoll is what it's called, the Driscoll Hotel, Driscoll. I knew it would come to me, the Driscoll Hotel. So anyways, founded by a guy named Colonel Driscoll. I'm outside of the ballrooms, Natalie, and I smell cigar smoke. I didn't even have my radar turned on. And I thought, there is no way they're going to let somebody smoke a cigar inside this hotel. Not happening. And so I turned on my radar and sure enough, here's Colonel Driscoll smoking his cigar, his spirit, and he'd been dead for 100 years or more, walking through the lobby outside of the ballrooms. So the big story is I saw these other spirits and I walked in this one ballroom and they had these mirrors. They had eight gold leaf mirrors. And at the top of the mirror was a cameo of a woman. And my little tour guy, who was a bellman, said, they believe that these came from Emperor Maximilian's palace in Mexico City. That's the provenance on them. And we believe that that's his wife, Carlotta. And I said, well, that's not Carlotta. That's his mistress, Jocinda. I'm thinking, where's that coming from? And I said, have you ever heard of that? And he said, no. So what did I do? I called in Carlotta and Jocinda's spirits. They show up in these ball gowns, silk, jewels, the whole nine yards. And I said, is that you, Carlotta, or is that you, Jocinda? And they looked like they were really big buddies, that they were friends. And Jocinda said, no, it's me. It was the mistress. Cut to the chase. I'm in the parking lot at Trader Joe's. This woman says, welcome to Austin. I said, I got to go to the Driscoll yesterday. She said, oh, you know, it's haunted. I said, yeah, I know. I'm a psychic. I saw this stuff. She said, well, I'm a book publisher and there's a book on the hotel that just went to press. Would you be willing to write the afterword about your experience there? And I said, sure. Talk about synchronicity.
Wow.
And she said, but the only catch is I need it within 3 days because it's gone to the printer. I said, no problem. So I'm flying home the next day. I write about my experiences. I type it all up while I'm on the plane. I get home. And just for kicks, I looked up Emperor Maximilian, Carlotta, Emperor Maximilian, Jocinta mistress. There's all this information out there about his mistress was Jocinta.
Really?
Yeah. So I put a footnote in the afterword saying, hey, mystery solved. You know, this is not his wife. It's his girlfriend. And it was published. And so there's a book on the Driscoll Hotel that has an afterword by me in there about my experience. Now, what is the chance of that?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, there's no denying. And that's not a popular name. And
no.
the lady in the parking lot. I mean, all of that was, yeah, that's so crazy.
I think Jocinta wanted everybody to know that's her. Yeah, so that trip was like that was a magical trip in a lot of ways.
I love it when stuff like that happens. When you see, do you see in your mind's eye or do you see in 3D?
Both. Okay. Usually in my mind's eye, mm-hmm. because there are less distractions.
Yeah.
When I normally see with my eyes open is when I'm driving, because it's important for me to keep my eyes open when I'm driving. Oh, I've had so many phone calls over the years where somebody's headed to the emergency room with a child that's fallen down.
I heard that in your book and you're like connecting while you're driving. I'm just like, oh my God, is this safe?
But if I'm doing a private scan on somebody or if I'm skinning the show, I'll usually close my eyes primarily because it just keeps the distractions out and I can really mm-hmm. focus. When I'm scanning somebody and my eyes are open, I'm looking out the window. I'm seeing what's going on, who's driving by, or is there a bird outside my window, whatever. So it helps me focus.
Okay. Yeah. Me too. I can. I'm mind's eye, eyes closed is the best way for me. Okay. So we're having a great time. We're already almost 40 minutes in and people might be like, are we going to talk about the 12 phases of transition? I feel like we're going to like make this so much serious now. Like the energy has been really light and fun. Now we have to talk about the stages of dying. Let's see if we can do this in a lighthearted way.
Well, I think it's important because there's so much information, Natalie, on the afterlife and the phases of grieving and even near-death experiences, the NDEs, but there's not a lot of information about what happens as we're dying. And that's really something that scares the daylights out of most people because we've been brought up to think, oh my gosh, when I'm dying, am I going to fly or am I going to fry? Am I going to heaven or am I going to hell? And that's what Pope Clement was all about teaching, having me teach people throughout the world what happens when somebody dies, because there's a glorious component to it. And there really isn't anything to be afraid of.
So what are the stages? Because I was able to confirm this when I connected with my dad. The only thing that was different was that whole like visual thing for me of how he was lighting up and how I can tell where he was. But I did see at the foot of the bed, his family and pets and some angels. And I didn't see, well, I know you're going to get into all of it, but I didn't see all of the pieces in the book, but I saw some of it. So yeah, so if you can just tell us, like, what is it that they go through?
Sure. The spirit exits the body. First of all, the spirit is the main power source for our bodies. You know, when we're in grade school, we learn that everything's made of energy. The whole water, when it freezes, turns into an ice cube, it then turns into vapor when it evaporates. But it's all the same thing. It's just different phase, different stages, different configurations of it, if you will. And that's the same. Everything's made of energy. And we're bodies attached with spirits, we're spirits attached to bodies rather having a human existence. But the spirit is the main part of us. That's the everlasting part. And it's also the power source for the body. And unlike what I was taught in Catholic schools, that the spirit is someplace in the chest area, what I perceive, Natalie, is that the spirit's the main part of us and the body's inside the spirit. It's all holographic, but the body's inside the spirit. Which is why when somebody dies and their body and their spirit separate, the body doesn't work anymore because it doesn't have a power source. And then that's all enclosed in what I call an energy field membrane. And that reminds me of really thin, stretchy saran wrap, the kind that you'd get on a tray of chicken breasts from the grocery store. You know, that stuff's thinner and stretchier than the Glad wrap, perhaps, that's in a box in our kitchen drawers. And so when somebody's dying, the spirit exits out through the top of the head. And people that have experienced a near-death experience, have had an NDE, a lot of them talk about that they feel like they're going through a tunnel towards the light. And that's what the spirit is doing. You know, that's as the spirit is disconnecting from the body. And it hangs on to the top of the head, and it looks like a bubble to me. It reminds me of a bubble that you'd see in a cartoon caption with the words or the character's thoughts inside of it. And it can be there for long periods of time. That's phase one. I call it the 12 phases of transition. Everybody goes through these, whether we die instantly, like in the case of a homicide or suicide, or whether it's prolonged out for days, weeks, months, even years. I had a gal call into my show for 2 years, and her dad was dying of Alzheimer's, and he was in phase 11 of 12 for over 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's phase one. The spirit hooks onto the top of the head, exits the body. As we progress through the phases, the mother closest maternal energy shows up. So for instance, was your grandmother, your dad's mom, is she passed or she's mm-hmm. still alive?
She passed.
Mm-hmm. So her spirit was there. And the thing that's so interesting, and you'll appreciate this as a new mom, is we mothers run the show from the spirit world. We think we're done when our kids are grown. I have a grown son who's married and lives in Los Angeles. He lives on the other side of the country from me. And we think we're done. We're not. We're still helping them from the spirit world, helping them transition. And then the closest paternal spirit shows up. So for instance, if your dad's mom, if your paternal grandmother was still alive, it would have been her mom mm-hmm. who would have been the one that was running the show. If she was still alive, it would be her mom. So it would have been his great grandmother. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And it's all from the paternal side, it's always on the maternal side. It's the dad or the granddad or the great granddad on the maternal side. And it's interesting to me in Judaism that children are not considered Jewish unless they're born of a Jewish mother. Hmm. So it makes me think, okay, this is ancient, this whole maternal thing. There's more to the equation than that. And then what happens in phase three is angels show up and they encircle the person who's dying. And it's important for me to let everybody know, all your listeners, Natalie, that angels appear how we're going to understand what that energy is. To me, they look like big winged beings with white gowns and bare feet and all that kind of thing. To somebody else, they may, like somebody that grew up in an indigenous tribe in the Amazon, they may look like a blob of purple energy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what they look like. What matters is how you perceive it. Like you were perceiving your dad's energy was running down like a battery. That was your frame of reference so that you could understand what was going on. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for us to honor however people visualize things. In my classes, I don't teach techniques as much. It's a transfer of energy. I use what I see and what I experience as an example. And I encourage my students, okay, let's see how it comes in for you. And so these angels then that are in a circle, as somebody is approaching death, they start to open up into a horseshoe configuration. More spirits of deceased loved ones show up. Deceased pet spirits show up. That's a riot when I'm saying, okay, we got a collie here and a horse. And I can always tell if somebody's grown up on a farm or has lived on a farm, because sometimes I'll see farm animals, ducks and chicks and pigs and cows. And I just think, Ryan, you can't make this stuff up. It's just too. And then I'll ask the family, I'll say, did your mom grow up on a farm? And they say, oh yeah. And I'll describe the cow to them and they'll say, oh, that was Molly, her dairy cow, or she was her pet, which is really cute. Horses. I describe the horses. They all have names. They have names for the dogs and cats and all of that. I don't see birds a lot. I don't think birds are as popular as some of these other pets. And then these angels, they open up into a straight line. It's almost like it's the line of demarcation between the spirit world and our human existence, because all of the spirits who've come to welcome the person to heaven, they're behind the line of angels, which is interesting. And then halfway through, there are extra angels that show up on either side of this spirit bubble, and their wings start to move. And as they move, there's a vortex that forms overhead, and it helps the spirit detach from the body. And it has an upward pull to it. It reminds me of driving through a car wash when you get to the end and they have the dryer on and you're sitting in the car and the dryer's sucking all the water off the car. That's what it reminds me of. I mean, it's this really intense suction. And the first time I saw that was with my own mother when she was dying. And I thought, oh my goodness, are you losing your mind? Are you, what is going on?
That was when the phases were introduced to you, right? When yeah, she was
my own mother. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when my mother was dying. And she was a principal of a Catholic grade school. So it was her parting gift to me in the world, because that's where I saw it for the first time. And the funny thing about the vortex that forms, it looks like a funnel cloud, you know, like a spinning funnel cloud that has an upward pull. And when I was writing the book, I thought, well, every time I see it, it reminds me of a giant owl, how its wings are silent, but you can almost feel the drag that a giant owl's wings would create when they were flapping or moving. And so I looked up just for kicks, owl, wings, vortex. Come to find out, there's this phenomenon called the wingtip vortex that every flying object, whether it be a bug or a bird or a fly or a plane or a jet or a kite or whatever, there's a wingtip vortex that happens, and it looks like a funnel cloud underneath it, and it causes lift. There are thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of aeronautical engineering drawings and articles about the wingtip vortex.
That is very cool.
I know. So I thought, okay, science is caught up with woo-woo here.
Yes. Because,
you know, that's what's helping the lift, helping the body and the spirit separate. And all these spirits that have come to welcome the person to heaven, I call them the Welcome to Heaven Committee. When I was growing up, they had these ladies in the neighborhoods that with somebody new moved in, they were called the Welcome Wagon Ladies, and they would bring a basket of cookies or fruit basket or something to welcome the person to the neighborhood. So I stole from that. I call this the Welcome to Heaven Committee. And it's interesting to note, Natalie, that they're in period dress. So they, I believe, are spirits with whom the person has had many past lives, because I'll see people in Renaissance garb or in, 1940s or 1960s. It's not uncommon for me to see spirits that are dressed in mini skirts and go-go boots from the 1960s looking like Twiggy. and so that's interesting to me.
How does the past lives, well, not past lives, but reincarnation mm-hmm. play into the whole thing? Because if people are reincarnated, well, do you believe in reincarnation? What's
your point? Yeah. I have lots of proof.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, who's up there and who's busy reincarnating, or are they both at the same time?
They're both at the same time.
Okay, that was
I think our human minds have trouble trying to wrap our minds around that because we don't have any frame of reference for that. The only thing I can think of, and it makes sense to me, is we're made in the image and likeness of God. And we think, a lot of people think, okay, God looks like an old man with a white beard and white hair, kind of like Gandalf or Dumbledore, you know, from the Harry Potter movies. Mm-hmm. But we're made in the image and likeness of God in spirit form. And so God can be everywhere all at the same time.
Yeah, omnipresent.
And so we. And there are lots of schools of thought that we live concurrent multiple realities. And is that true? I get a yes on that. Do I know it for sure? No. Is it feasible? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So do we understand it? No. But back to, is it feasible? Yeah. There's a lot of stuff I don't understand. It doesn't mean it isn't true. It just means I don't understand it yet. Sometimes I can learn something, that teach an old dog new tricks kind of thing. And figure it out. So then at the end, in phase 12, that's when our spirit is escorted to heaven. And heaven appears to me, I haven't seen any stone walls with St. Peter and a clipboard sitting outside. You know, it's like, okay, you're allowed in, you're not. Turn left and go jump in the fire pit. What I describe and what I envision is this big, huge, bright white plasma wall. That when we go through it, it opens up like plasma, and then it immediately, there's no trace. And that's what heaven looks like to me, because I've been there many times and come back. And I do that in this exercise called the walk to heaven. I do it a lot. There's a whole chapter in the book about it. And I do it a lot with people, and so do my graduates, with people who are very afraid to die. And so it's somewhat of a dress rehearsal. So I'll connect their spirit with my spirit. We'll take the walk to heaven. I'll show them that once they get through the plasma wall, that all their family and friends, deceased family and friends, are all going to be there as the Welcome to Heaven Committee. And it really assuages, you know, any kind of fear. Some people need to do it more than one time, but it's remarkable how just doing a dress rehearsal helps them let go, and it reduces fear, and it allows them to just transition in a peaceful way.
Yeah, that's a great tool. Definitely. When I was helping, my best friend had passed away from cancer a few years ago, and I wasn't with her. She was at the hospital and she passed. I didn't feel strong enough to be there. Honestly, it was one of my first experiences with death, and I was having a horrible like gastric attack, and I went into meditation to connect with her soul and be like, are you okay? Where are you? What's going on? And she was like, can you help me get ready? And it was like, she wanted to get dolled up, which was totally her. Like, she's like, can you help me like do my hair and get ready and pick out what to wear? And I'm like, really? Like, this is what's happening? and then finally, when she just was like, we were done doing whatever she wanted, it felt very ethereal, and she collapsed into a ball of light and then wisped away. And that was similar with my dad in one of those sessions. He was scared in the beginning when I was first starting to connect with him, and he was nonverbal. He came through as if he had like fear of transitioning, because he was always like agnostic, but said he was atheist. But I feel like he was really agnostic. And he was apprehensive, and I sat and I communicated with his soul. I said, this is what to expect, and you're going to meet your loved ones, and they're going to help you transition, and this is what happened to your soul, and all these things. And he felt all of a sudden his energy just shifted, and he was like, his soul was just bright and he looked healthy again. And then the same thing, the soul collapsed into a ball of light and whisked away. But that was earlier. It wasn't when we had passed. So I felt like part of him was, you know, on the other side and part was here.
Well, and the way to use the graphics that are on my website, AskJulieRyan.com, it's what I find and what I encourage families to do is print them off. You can download them. Print off the chart so that you can see what's going on. And then you just ask spirit. And you don't have to be a psychic. You don't have to be trained in anything to do this. We all communicate with spirit. We're just not aware that we're doing it. And spirit communicates telepathically. So you ask a question like, what phase is my grandmother in? And you're going to get an answer that's going to come in, Natalie, within a second, as fast as you can snap your fingers. And then you look at the graphics, you look at the chart, and you say, okay, grandma's in phase 7. That means the angels are in a horseshoe. Her parents are there. There's spirits. There's pet spirits there. And what I find is it gives people in the extended family just a tremendous amount of comfort to be able to picture what's happening in the spirit world. And most people that are passing can see it. There's a book called Death is But a Dream. And if you go on my, I don't know if you've heard that podcast yet. It's with a guy named Chris Kerr, who's an MD, PhD, and he's a hospice director in Buffalo, New York. And he's done university-based research on 1,400 patients who report seeing deceased loved ones and the spirits of deceased pets as they're approaching death. And so his book corroborates what I described from the spiritual side of the equation. And there was a family with whom I worked, and a big Italian family here in Birmingham. And you know, I think the wife was married to one of 10 or 11 kids. And the sister-in-law called me. She had brought me in, and I had communicated with the woman who was dying and gave her wishes to the family and all of that. And I had taken them these graphics. And she said, when somebody comes to the house, we just hand them the folder with the graphics in it. And she said, there are probably 100 people in this house tonight. She was passing. She was in her last moments. And she said, normally they'd be bouncing off the walls. She said, everybody's quiet. Everybody's calm. She said, I just can't even tell you what kind of an effect these graphics have had. These images, people understand, they connect with it. They're easy to read and they get it. And how do you argue with, they're surrounded by their deceased loved ones and angels? I don't get any better than that.
So true. And what do you say to the person when, let's say it comes out that they're in stage 11, but you had that one example where that person was in stage 11 for 2 years? How do you navigate that? Because if I were to not know or see, feel stage 11, I would panic and expect that they were going to leave soon, but then it draws out. Like, how would you know, or how would you navigate that?
Well, that's a great question. Everybody transitions in their own time. And remember, time doesn't exist in the spirit world. So 2 years to us in our time is a human creation. It's a human concoction. So time in our spirit, in our world is a long time. 2 years in the spirit world, 100 years in the spirit world may not even be a blip on the radar screen. And that's what's helpful about the stages of transition. And what we found with your dad was if somebody's moving through the phases rapidly, you can tell that you need to go get there. If in fact, you want to be there. Oftentimes, family members are traveling from long distances, or they're taking time off work, or they've got kid childcare that they have to deal with, and all kinds of things that we all live busy lives. And so that's important. I think the other thing is when you ask that question and you get an answer, what phase are they in? That's how you communicate with spirit, and you can communicate with your loved one that way, like what you were doing with your dad telepathically. Because you can say, are you ready to go? You're going to get an answer immediately. Are you in pain? You're going to get an answer. Yes or no? What do you need? And it, as you know, the story is in my book, it runs the gamut of what do you need? Sometimes it's candy. Sometimes I need a blanket. Sometimes I need to see someone. There was a family with whom I worked in Athens, Greece, and the father was dying and he was unable to communicate. And verbally. So I was communicating with him telepathically from Alabama. You know, it's like a telepathic intercontinental call here. It was even cross. It was, you know, across the ocean. So anyways, I asked him, what does he need? And he said, I need to talk to my sister. And I said to his wife, he wants to talk to his sister. Is his sister close by? And she said, no, she lives in Australia. Oh, wow. And I said, well, get her on the Skype or on Zoom or something and let her talk to him. And she said, well, he can't talk. I said, but he can hear and he knows that she's there. And she did, and they did. And then he passed very shortly thereafter. So it was something that he needed. One of my favorite stories is about one of my friends. Her dad was dying and he just was in the ICU and was stretching on. They took him off the ventilator. They thought he'd be gone in a matter of minutes. I mean, this was now 2 weeks that has stretched out. She called me one day and she said, can you please find out what the heck he needs? Well, he'd been telling us all along he needed her to file his quarterly estimated tax returns. And she said, oh, for heaven's sakes, his tax returns, that's the last thing he needs to be worried about. So finally, she said, well, I don't even know where they are. So again, I'm on the phone with her and I'm communicating with him telepathically. And he said, they're in my bedroom, in my desk, drawer on the left, like middle drawer on the left or something. And I said to her, just go see if they're there and put them in the mailbox. You don't have anything to lose. So she did just that, Natalie, and he died shortly thereafter.
Oh, wow.
And he wanted the postmark of those tax returns to be that day that he died. And you know how hindsight is 20/20. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, she was the executor of his estate. It saved her so many headaches.
Really?
Having her taxes already filed. He had written out the check. He had them addressed. They were stamped. The envelope was stamped. The whole nine yards.
Oh, my gosh.
He mailed them. Yeah.
Wow. That's so
they'll cool. tell us, they'll mm-hmm. tell you, you just, and how you know that it's spirit communicating is it there, the thought comes in your head within a second. Mm-hmm. You think about it for more than a couple of seconds, that's going to be your brain talking to you. So that's how you know that it's spirit communicating. And you know, we can do that with people who are alive. Lots of indigenous cultures have been doing that for millennia, like the Aboriginal cultures in Australia.
Yes, that's a lot of people don't know that. And my mom was, when I told her what I was doing, she's like, but he hasn't passed. You're talking to him while he's alive. And I'm like, yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Look up Aborigines and they communicate across thousands of miles telepathically with other people that are alive. When the young men go on their walkabouts by themselves, they all know where they are. They know when they're coming in because they're communicating with them telepathically the whole time.
I love it. It's so amazing, this unseen world. So I want to talk briefly about the medical intuitive part, just because I think it's so cool. If you can share how that peace unlocked for you. And then what you've been doing with it.
Well, it came in when I was studying how to do this stuff. And I talk a lot about it in my book, but basically I see in my mind's eye body parts. I'm like a human MRI.
Is this because you have all that surgical background that you can see all this stuff? Because I don't know anything about anatomy. So.
Well, it comes in handy. And listen, when I started doing this, it was 30 years ago and we didn't have the internet. So I bought a book that's one of those paperback books that has color drawings of what body parts look like. And by now I know what body parts look like, but if I didn't know at the time, I would just ask, what is this, a liver or a kidney or a gallbladder or whatever? And I get an answer instantly from spirit because it's spirit working through me and with me. It's not me doing it. I'm the facilitator. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly part of the equation, but so I connect to somebody energetically and then I envision shooting energy from their feet up through the top of their head. And it's as if I'm looking at an X-ray or a CT scan or an MRI. And the energy, three things happen. Something's identified. Immediately thereafter, there's some type of energetic healing that will begin. And that can take the form of something getting added, something getting removed. I watch procedures all the time that emulate what I saw in operating rooms for all those decades with similar instruments and similar procedures. Sometimes I see healings that utilize methodologies and devices that haven't been invented yet. But regardless of what I'm seeing, I'm very descriptive with the person I'm scanning, because if you can envision it in your mind's eye, or at least get a sense of what I'm seeing, it's going to help integrate the healing into your body, because the body's always going to follow what the brain's showing it.
I noticed that when I was listening to the show, that you're always describing what you're doing.
Yeah. And it's, and my analogies are hilarious.
Yes, you have funny analogies.
I may tell you that a body part looks like a bowl of whipped cream, but you have an instant visual of what I'm seeing. And those analogies come into my head. Last night on the show, somebody had a blocked tear duct. And here's what I'm watching in my mind's eye, Natalie. It was so funny. I said, have you ever unwound a paperclip and used the edge of the paperclip after you made it straight to unblock maybe a tube of crazy glue or something, that you needed something really little? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, that's what I'm watching happen in your eye duct, in your tear duct. I'm watching this little instrument. But the analogy of unwinding a paperclip came into my head. Because I'm seeing things in my mind's eye. I'm getting what I call divine downloads so that I can help describe what I'm seeing. Because back to the body believing what the mind tells it, an analogy for that is, think of a time when you were watching a scary movie and your brain knew it was pretend, but your heart might have felt like it was getting ready to jump out of your chest. I think that's a great example. So we do that. And then I look at the energy field membrane, back to that the body is inside the spirit. And then there's this membrane that goes around it. That's the container that holds the energy that comprises our body and our spirit. And an analogy I like to use for that is, imagine going to the pet store to buy a goldfish. They're going to put it in a plastic bag of water in order for you to get it home. Well, the goldfish represents our body. The water represents our spirit. And the plastic bag represents our energy field membrane. And I always am checking people's energy field membranes to see if there's a tear or a hole in it, because it's allowing an energy leak. And energy leaks always precede any kind of medical condition. And they're caused by an emotional event, either in this lifetime or a past lifetime. So when I see a hole, I'll go into it and I'll be given, if it's this lifetime, what the year was, a little bit about what happened. If it's a past life, same thing, where it was, when it was. I'll usually get the person's name. A lot of times we'll get information that we can corroborate with online documents, historic documents, which is wild. That's so fun. Past lives are so fun. But back to my goldfish in a bag example, if that bag has a pinhole in it and water is draining out a drop at a time, for a long time, that fish is going to be fine. But when enough water drains out, that fish is going to be in trouble. And that's what happens to the human body. So I believe that's the most important part of a healing, is to heal the energy field membrane. After we fix the body parts, we can fix body parts all day long, but if you're not working on full power, why bother?
Right.
It's kind of like your car's not running, so you get a new radiator, but it's still not going to run because you got a dead battery. Okay. What's the
point? Is the energy field membrane the same thing as the aura, or is the aura the spirit?
The aura is the spirit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what's protecting the aura is the energy field membrane.
That's right. Yeah. It's really interesting to see these holes and tears and where they are and things that come up. This morning I was working with a private client in Boston. You know, all my scans are remote. 99.99999% of them are remote. And we saw her as a man in the, I believe it was in the early 70s. And she was in Ireland. She was Irish. And she was in Ireland, and she was driving on this road that bordered cliffs going down into the ocean, over there they call it the sea. And she was driving very erratically. And she had a hole in her energy field membrane that was near her left shoulder, kind of like where the collarbone meets the shoulder. And so I went in there and I'm seeing this scene, and she lost control of the car and the car didn't go down the cliff. It rolled the opposite direction, but she had a puncture wound in her shoulder. And there's always a correlation with a past life. And what I got was she was upset about something. She got in the car, she was driving, she wasn't paying attention. She just wanted to get away from whatever it is she was upset about in that lifetime. And what I got was in this lifetime, she does the same thing. She runs from things that are conflicts. And what happens is our spirit will use the same basic script through multiple lifetimes. In each time, it'll be different setting, different gender, different nuances, same basic script, different perspective on the same thing that we're exploring. And our spirit expands each time. So then that heals the energy field membrane and the body can work on full power. The healings happen on the energetic level, Natalie. They will integrate into the body and that can happen instantly. It can take days, weeks, months. It may need some kind of complementary care from Western or even Eastern medicine, like medicine or physical therapy or chiropractic care or surgery or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's always our spirit's prerogative to use the healing or not to best facilitate whatever it is we're exploring. Sometimes the healing is death.
Right.
Yeah. Like with your dad, he was done. He was tired. He was tired of suffering. He was ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. He was over it.
That's the healing.
Mm-hmm. That's something that I always make a point in communicating, that sometimes healing is dying peacefully. It's not a cure. Like healing is not curing. Sometimes it's just, having that peacefulness.
Well, and not even necessarily having to have the peacefulness. Dying, sometimes death is the healing, regardless of how it happens. And I think it's important to remember we all decide when we go, where we go, how we go, and who's with us when we go. Like your dad waited until you guys were all out of the room. It's all our spirit that's driving that. And there have been so many times that I've spoken with families who've lost a loved one and they feel guilty because, like what you went through, they were out of the room and they weren't there. And I say, your loved one chose that. Chose that. So there's no reason for you to feel guilty. It all unfolded perfectly.
What do you say to those who are passing away with COVID? Are they choosing to go in such a difficult way? And
well,
alone?
In a lot of the time, it's people most of the time that have comorbidity issues. And they're ready to go and they see this as a way to go. And it's not just that they're doing it for their own soul's purpose, their own spirit, soul, same thing, but they're also doing it for their loved ones, expansion of their spirits as well. So for you to be there and have your dad pass, well, you were in the house, but you weren't there. You are versed enough on this that you knew that was what he wanted. And he had told you that telepathically before he passed. But somebody perhaps that felt really guilty because they left the room to go to get a cup of coffee when grandma slipped out the 2 minutes they were out of the room and they're suffering with the guilt, that will motivate them or not in ways that are going to help their spirit expand. Oftentimes, that's when people search for somebody like you or like me. And they want to explore, okay, is there more to the equation here? I'm not getting comforted by this stuff that I know. What else is there? And it sets them on a quest, if you will, almost a trajectory of, okay, I'm going to see what else is available and see what resonates.
Have you worked with any COVID patients?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have. A really dear friend of mine's brother died 2 nights ago from COVID. And he was in his 70s. He had some other health issues. He was in the hospital. And so we were doing the different phases. And the funniest thing was I asked him, what does he need? Do you need to talk to anybody? Well, he didn't need to talk to the sister who was my friend, but he needed to talk to his other sister who I know. He said, I know she loves me, my friend. I need to hear from the other one. It was so cute.
Aww.
And so they put her on the phone to him.
Oh, geez.
That's good stuff. I hope that this converts other people and that they can go on your website and download the images and be able to help their loved ones navigate such a difficult like landscape. It's tough work sometimes, but it's beautiful. And being able to apply this, what would you call it, like method framework?
Well, well, that's a great question. What would we call it? The spiritual side of the equation, mm-hmm. to equate the spiritual side with the human side. And interestingly enough, Natalie, I believe people have been able to see these 12 phases of transition since the beginning of time, mm-hmm. because in the Catholic Church, I've been to many Catholic funerals in my day, being raised Catholic. And at the end of every Catholic funeral is a prayer called In Paradisum that talks in Latin. It's into paradise. And it talks about how the angels and your loved ones will greet you and lead you into paradise. And when I saw this for the first time with my mother and I was at her funeral, I thought, holy smokes, that's what I witnessed. So when I was writing the book, I researched where did that prayer originate. And what I learned is it started as a 5th century Gregorian chant. And perhaps it took till the 5th century till people were learned enough that somebody could read and write and write down this, what everybody experiences in the form of a prayer. And certainly back then, some of the most well-educated people were men living in monasteries and living in synagogues. And we've really just become literate as a culture in the past probably 100 plus years. It hasn't been that long. So I believe that since the beginning of time, people have been able to see this. And those of us that are learning how to do this work, and even people who aren't interested in doing this as a profession, but it's just interesting to help you live your life, mm-hmm. we have access to all of this information. And that's what Pope Clement has commandeered me to go educate people about.
So good. So good. So how can people work with you? Because I know that you have a variety, a buffet of things.
Right.
So
right.
The books, let's start with the books. You have 3 books out now, right?
I have 3 books. I have Angelic Attendance, What Happens As We Transition from This Life into the Next. That's the grown-up book. And then I have 2 children's books, and those are darling. They're illustrated picture books for children. And it's Angel Messages for Kids. And the new one that just came out right before Christmas is Angel Messages for Dogs. And it's angels talking to dogs. And it's really cute. They're saying things like, if you learn how to shake, roll over, and sit, you might get some tricks. You know, if you learn to do tricks, you might get treats and things uh-huh. like that. And the colors are very vibrant. My illustrator's in Ireland, and she's just fabulous. And those came about because I had so many moms say to me, can you come up with a way that I can help talk to my child about that they see spirits and they know stuff that we don't know, and it ends up being right. And this child isn't old enough to know. And this spirit they're seeing is my deceased grandfather who's been dead for 30 years. And then I've had moms say, can you write a book to help me describe and teach my child why he or she knows information about past lives that we can corroborate with historical data. And this child can't read yet. And can you help me help my child understand what happens when somebody dies? And we say, well, grandma's in heaven. And little Johnny's saying, no, she's not. She's asleep in that box over there because they're at the funeral home at the visitation hours. And so that's what the book is. And it talks about that we're spirits and we have a body, but then there's a lot of fun stuff that's not woo-woo mm-hmm. in there, but it helps them understand what's going on.
I want to check that out. Definitely. That sounds like I want to share that because my partner has a 6-year-old daughter. So I'd love to show that to her.
Well, and the fun thing about it is I hear from moms who will say things like, my child didn't sleep through the night and he's 2.5 and we read Angel Messages for Kids and now we read it every night and he slept through the night ever since. And I say to him, hey, if you wake up, just talk to your angels. I have moms that say to me, when their kids are misbehaving, they'll send them to the room for a timeout for a couple of minutes. They'll say, go talk to your angels and then, you know, cool off and then come back and tell me. And she said, they have these lucid conversations that make so much sense that they're talking to their angels and they're saying, well, I did this. And she said, they're coming back with these concepts that are so advanced, way beyond their years. I have moms that have children that I love this, that they've got a book in the house and then they need one in the car or in the diaper bag as well. So they'll buy a couple of them because the child wants the angel book to take with them in the car.
That's so sweet.
So it's That's cute.
Great. Yeah, are you working on a fourth book that'll be a compilation of all of your buffet?
Not at the moment. I just released the third one.
I know.
I'll have another children's book out. I've committed to do those once a year. So the next one might be angel messages for goldfish or angel messages for, I don't know, trees. Or I haven't been inspired by it yet. But it comes to me, what I say. And I think that children's books maybe have 15 sentences in them. Mm-hmm. And it's primarily illustrations. And it's still a lot of work, but it's not like writing a several hundred page book.
Are you self-publishing or have a publisher?
I am using a company called Clement Inc. Guess who that's named after? Pope Clement.
Was that a coincidence?
No, it was planned. Oh, and okay. I actually turned down several major publishers because I was led to do it on my own because I could keep control of it.
So you became the publisher because you're a serial entrepreneur, of course.
Founded 9 companies in 5 industries. And that's what I can hire. I hired an editor. I hired illustrators. I hired publicity people. I hired artists. I hired all that stuff. So yeah.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So we got the books. Then we have your training that's coming up. And yeah, we talked about that at the beginning.
Right. And that I teach that quarterly. It's online. It's an absolute blast. It will enhance your life in every way. It will bring in abundance in every area of your life, not only for yourself, but everybody that you touch as well. And then it gets you in this community of people that know how to do all this stuff. And it's just really so much fun. Tomorrow, I'll have 2 graduate groups and it's anybody that wants to participate. If we just have a ball and we talk about stuff, and if somebody has a loved one that's dying or having surgery or whatever, it's an amazing group and it's so powerful, the healings that come in and the miraculous things that we witness. It's really fun.
That sounds great.
And then I do private sessions as well. And everything's on my website. I do, my show is every Thursday night from 8 to 10 Eastern. It's a radio show. It's a call-in show. And it's syndicated on radio stations. You can listen to it live.
That means it's like AM, FM, kids. AM,
FM. And then we edit out the commercials and we release it as a podcast. And it's everywhere podcasts are downloadable. And it's also on YouTube and it's on Alexa and it's all over.
And it comes to your services, all of the one-on-ones that I see here, you do the medical scanning, PET scanning, talking to deceased, the mediumship, dying person scan, past lives. And what's part of the paranormal category?
Paranormal is if somebody has paranormal activity in their home or their office. And I have a whole chapter in my book about an office building that was haunted.
Yes.
You may remember reading that
story.
So that was really fun too. Yeah, it was great.
And the book was really a fun read.
It is fun. People tell me, they say it is a page turner and they didn't expect that at all. But everything that anybody wants to talk about, we have an hour. We can talk about as many things, as many categories as you want. If you want to do a past life thing and a medical scan and a whatever, you know.
So whatever comes through in that hour.
And everything is at Ask Julie Ryan. AskJulieRyan.com and all my social media is AskJulie.
Okay, perfect. And I will put that in the show notes as well to make sure that people can find you. Well, this has been excellent. Such a great time. And I've learned so much. I'm so grateful that Spirit has brought us together. And I'm just filled with gratitude. You're such a beautiful soul and fun. And you guys can't see her, but she's just like super happy, Kool-Aid smile the entire time. Just, you can tell you have that really playful, fun energy. I want to have you back to talk about other stuff in the future, because anytime. Even from the entrepreneurial, like spiritual entrepreneur perspective, I'd love to maybe do something, because that's very unique and you have a ton of experience.
I'd be delighted.
The videos
and everything that you just, thank you for those kind comments. All I can say is same right back at you, babe.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, guys, it's a wrap. Thank you guys for being here. I know that your time is the most valuable thing you have. It means the world to me that you're here. There are many more cool episodes coming, so go subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. If this episode inspired you, please leave a review so this show can reach more people who need healing. Thank you for being here. I love you guys. See you in the next episode.